We are in the third lesson of the series, Great Awakening. If you've been with us for the past couple weeks, you know that my text from the series comes from 2 Chronicles 7, and we've been focusing primarily on verse 14. As I mentioned last week, I do not expect that you have all memorized this verse yet, but I encouraged you to do so. So let's just see if there's anyone maybe who can recite this. I'm going to give you with just a prompting. And do you think you can recite this with me? At least the first part. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, there you go, you got that right, very good, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So yes, good verse to commit to memory. This week we're going to take things up another notch. We've seen where God again tells his people to humble themselves and pray. We spent a considerable amount of time on that the last couple of weeks. But now he tells them to specifically seek my face. Seek my face. How do we do that? How do you seek the face of God? Especially when Exodus 33:20 tells us that no one can see God's face and live. Now that would seem like it'd be a deterrent, right? God's saying, seek my face, but if you do, you're going to die if you ever see me. You know, so we'll wait just a minute here now. Why should I seek that which you're telling me I'm not allowed to see? Or I'm not capable of seeing? Why would I do that? It seems almost like an oxymoron, like something that contradicts itself. Until maybe we understand that seeking God's face is a Hebrew expression that means to pursue his presence. It's not really about seeking to see his literal face, but the idea of pursuing his presence, about coming closer to him. It's about being before his face to have an audience with him, with God Almighty. And I don't just mean via podcast. It's to be present in his presence. But aren't God's children always in his presence? Well, yes and no. What do I mean by that? Well, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. So he's always near us. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, Paul would urge people to know that God had created them and set them where they were in life, with the idea that they should reach out and find him, though he's not far from any of them. So God's not far, he's near. So there's a sense that he is everywhere all the time. And there is a sense, too, where he's always with his children. And that idea of his covenant promise, he would always stand by us and help us and work everything out for us for good, for ultimate good. And even in the Hebrew letter, it says, God promises his children, I will never forsake you or leave you. So to pursue his presence when he's always there, you know, to seek again this intimacy with him when it's always readily available, seems kind of odd perhaps to say. But yet his people need to do this. And until we do this, he says we're not going to have the relationship restored and as strong as it needs to be and should be for us to receive all the blessings that he has in store for us, particularly forgiveness and healing. The scriptures repeatedly call us to seek the Lord's face. In Psalm 27, verse 4, David says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Wow, what a great, great heart, huh? No wonder he's called a man after God's own heart. That he would have that as his sole desire, his one goal in life, the one thing that he would seek would be to seek God. To seek God, to have this close and intimate relationship with him, to gaze upon the beauty. And again, he's not talking about seeing a literal face, but the idea of being in his presence. Isaiah 55, verse 6. The prophet urges the people to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. So still, the idea, here, God's people, God's omnipresent, he's right here, but the need to seek him, to pursue him. It's not as if he's trying to move away from us, but we move away from him. And that's the reason the need is there, for us to seek him, to go deeper into this relationship. Let's be honest. The reality of God's presence is not our constant experience, is it? Though he's always there, are we always aware? Do we acknowledge his presence? Do we engage with him in this relationship? Are we not sometimes neglectful of God? Are there times when we really don't even give him any thought? Are there times when we don't trust him as we should? Aren't there times when he seems distant and aloof? We don't always perceive him as beautiful and valuable in the eyes of our hearts. Again, he's there, but we're not always aware. And that's the idea. Teaching pastor and author John Piper suggests God's face is often hidden behind the curtain of our carnal desires. In other words, we just get caught up with the things in this world so much that we don't see him. In fact, my personal experience is that if we not only don't see him, we don't miss him. And so we don't seek him. This is a pretty sad state for a child of God. And this state of consciousness will overtake us if we don't seek him. It will. It is, if you will, almost our default to fall back into this situation where we ignore him, we move away from him rather than move towards him. Our sinful nature alienates us, and it turns our heart and mind always away rather than towards. So in order to enjoy this continual awareness of his divine beauty and worth, we must seek his face. Actively seek his face. But again, in practical terms, how do you go about that? How do you do that? How do you seek the face of God? How do you pursue his presence? It starts with a resolve to set our minds and our hearts on him. To do that. It's the conscious focusing of our attention and our affection on God. To consciously do that. 1 Chronicles 22:19 urges us to devote our hearts and souls to seeking the Lord our God. Devote our hearts and souls. We have to make that decision. It is a decision, a choice we need to make. And the idea of devoting our hearts and souls is not just like some kind of a, well, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. But to have that attitude, as we saw about David again, this I seek it diligently. I seek the Lord. In Colossians 3, the first couple of verses says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth. It's again that idea of setting your mind, setting your heart. It's about focus. It's about consciously deciding where we're going to put our attentions and our affections. So this isn't mental coasting. This isn't the idea of, you know what, well, I'll just kind of let my mind wander, and I'm sure it'll end up on God eventually. Then I'll just, you know, maybe meditate on nothing and that hope that God will enter into my consciousness. Now, there are those that have that kind of an attitude, that kind of an idea, that that's the way it works. No, he says, seek my face. Seek me. Not just, well, wait around and hopefully he'll show up. No, he's already there. It's a matter of us opening the eyes of our heart to see him, to recognize him. We have to direct our hearts and minds toward him. Yet it's interesting in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul indicates that we might even need some divine help with this. He prays there, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. See, may the Lord direct your heart. There's a need for us, see, in seeking his face. Remember, what did it say? We humble ourselves, we pray and seek his face. humble ourselves, recognize we need you, God. We need your direction. We need your help. We need, even in this, God, even in seeking you, we need you to help us with that. Especially we're going to maintain that connection. We need you to be personally involved in that by prompting us in ways that we maybe otherwise would not be prompted. Help us. Give us something to help us with that. And guess what? He does. He does. Jesus once said, no one can come to the Father unless the Father enables him to. And the Father will enable us to. Because he wants us to come to him. I believe that Jesus is saying that the door is open into his presence because the Father has opened it. He's opened it. There'd be no other way. He has opened it. He's put up the welcome light. Come on in. See, we think sometimes, I believe, that to unlock this door, to get through this door, to come into the presence, it's got to be by our own cunning and skill. There's going to be some formula that we have to come up with, you know, before we can enter into his presence. We got to say the right words, like some incantation, you know, that's going to force God to let us in. The idea that, well, if I just say the right words, if I just figure out what they are and say the right words and pray just the right way, then he's going to have no choice. He's going to have to open the door. Really? No. And we don't kick it down, see, with some battering ram of demand or this barrage of prayers. Like if I pray hard enough and long enough and say enough prayers, well, then he's going to have to eventually let me in. If I keep knocking, he's got to let me in eventually, right? No, he doesn't. If he hadn't opened the door by his grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, we could knock all we want, pray all we want, holler all we want, scream all we want, beg all we want, plead all we want, and the door would remain closed. See, Jesus says it's not even by our many words that we should approach the Father, but it's his gracious heart that makes this relationship possible. It's not about earning it. It's not about working through it. It's not about our effort. It's by his grace, by his mercy, the door is open. And he says, I am here. Remember the context of our whole message. He said his presence would be in that place. He'd be there. And if they drifted away, he'd be there. What did they need to do? Humble themselves, pray, and seek his face. And they'd find him. I shared last week how much it means that my daughters call me and that I always try to respond to their calls immediately to let them know that I got the message and that I'm looking forward to when we can talk. But what I cherish most is when we can get together to have them physically present. And when these 30-something girls snuggle up between me and their mother just for a cuddle, my heart melts. They don't have to ask me to open my arms to them. I do that whenever I see them moving in my direction. When we go to visit my daughter Sarah in Michigan, I pull up in the driveway. I'm not even out of the car yet, and she is running out the door to me and her mom. And I don't say, nope. We haven't, you know, talked yet. You know, we haven't, you haven't even greeted me properly yet. You haven't, like, paved the way by some thing that I require. I open my arms immediately. I see her coming. Oh, when she says, Daddy, I miss your hugs, just hold me a while. That's music to my ears. It is. And I am convinced that God is just as pleased when his children draw near to him. That when he senses and knows that we are seeking him, he is wide open to our advances. Seeking God's face, though, is the conscious effort to move closer to him. And God will welcome those who draw close to him.
And James has said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Wow.
But think about it. Most of us tend to indulge in activities which get in the way of the relationship. We know what makes us more aware of God's presence. We don't need a lecture. I don't think, spend a whole lot of time telling you now. Now listen, I want to give you some practical things that you can do. Really, in our heart of hearts, if we're His children, we know what kind of things bring us closer to Him. We also know what desensitizes us to Him. Perhaps even tempts us to want to keep our distance. Or to cloud our hearts and minds so much that we don't even think about seeking Him. I can tell you, yes, spending time in God's Word will help you to draw closer to Him. Absolutely. Prayer will help you to draw closer to Him. Worship brings you closer to Him. You know that. I don't have to make a 3-point sermon out of that one. You know that. If you're His child, you know that. You instinctively know. You know from your own experience what draws you closer to Him. But don't you also know what gets in the way? Don't you? Anything that keeps us from seeking God ought to be reassessed. And I would say even curtailed. Well, like what? You tell me. Does watching tons of TV or playing video games or even living on Facebook help or hinder you in seeking God? Well, you may say, well, that has no effect whatsoever. It doesn't hinder me. It doesn't deter me. It's just stuff I do. You know, well, I'd suggest that if it's not helping, it very well may be hindering. If we get so, you know, obsessed with other things that get between us and Him, to where, again, see, we're mindless. We're thinking about everything else but Him. It's not that they're bad things. They're not saying we can't have some time again of recreation. But so many people are obsessed with that stuff. So much so that there's no room for God. We don't seek God, though, remember, because He's lost. Why do we do that? It's because we're lost. By His grace, so once again, I believe He gives us signs and prompts to help us find our way back to Him. Think about it. The heavens, we're told, proclaim the glory of God. There should not be a one of His children who doesn't look up to the heavens, who isn't drawn closer to God, who isn't drawn into prayer and praise of God. A recognition of how close He is and how much He cares and how much He loves us. His Word reveals Him, urges us to seek Him. Why has He given us the Word? It's His love letter to us to communicate to us that I'm here. And I care, and I love you, and I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, and I just ask you to come and enjoy the beauty of our relationship. The transforming grace in His people, does it not draw us to Him when we see it? Once again, think about the context. God's presence was made manifest in the temple. And His people were even to pray toward the temple. So if they were being told to seek His face, I wonder where they would look for it, if not in the temple. Bear with me. Today, according to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, the church and the members of the church, we are the temple of God. I often hear so many people say that you don't need to come to church to pray, to worship, or read the Bible. And I have to agree with that. But more often than not, if we aren't coming to church, we aren't in relationship with the church, we aren't doing those things. At least not consistently for long. Because in the community of God's people who collectively seek His presence, there's that reminder to seek the presence, but there's also this accountability, as well as the healing and the forgiveness. the urging, the encouraging to seek his face. No, the church building is not the place to seek his face, but within his church should be a place to seek his face. Amen? I can't help believe that there's a direct correlation between the decline in church attendance and the lack of knowledge of God in our world. You think that's just coincidence? I don't. How about the rise in moral decay? As church attendance has declined, as people have come less and less into the presence of God and seeking God, what have we seen? Again, I don't believe that's just a coincidence. Even among churchgoers, for a growing number of people, it's just not seen as a priority anymore. There's what I call the floating 40 here at Calvary. I was talking with a pastor friend from another state the other day, and he said they have a very similar situation at their church. But let me explain that. On any given Sunday, there's 30 to 40 members of Calvary Christian Church absent. Any given Sunday, there's at least that many missing today, if not more. Now, it's not always the same people every week. Some do deal with illness from time to time. There are hindrances physically. Some have conflicting work schedules. They can't be here every Lord's Day. Some have other schedules, things they need to go out of town for, things they need to deal with, things come up. There's life to do and to deal with. There's weather conditions sometimes that hinder people. There can be all kinds of hindrances, but what saddens me is when people within the church, and I'm not talking just about here at Calvary, it seems like it's a problem across the board, they just choose not to come. It's like on Saturday night, they think, well, should we go on tomorrow or not? Rather than, there's never a question, where am I going to be Sunday morning? Where am I going to be? What's going to be a priority for me? But there are those people who don't decide whether they're going to be there Sunday until maybe even Sunday morning, depending on how they feel when they roll out of bed. There are those people. And I don't even mean that critically, but it's how our culture has been used, this idea that, yes, I don't have to be in church to pray, so why go? But hear me. If we're going to consistently be seeking God, seeking this relationship with God, Jesus died for his church, paid for his church for that benefit, knowing that we need it. We do. In a scene from The War Room, Miss Clara asks a woman if she goes to church. When she answers occasionally, Miss Clara says, "Why? Does the pastor only preach occasionally?" Now listen, it's not just about coming to hear the word preached by the local pastor. Neither is it just about singing along with our favorite hymns or worship songs either. Neither is it about just coming to say amen whenever someone leads a prayer at church. If the only time we're exposed to the Word of God is when we're listening to someone preach, or we're singing praises that we like, or amening a prayer that someone else says, then we may be seeking something other than Him. Yet when we humble ourselves and we pray and then seek His face, we're going to find Him. We're going to find Him. At church? Absolutely. We're also going to find Him whenever we do that. And wherever we do that. When we humble ourselves, when we pray, and when we seek His face. Whenever we open our hearts to His Word. Whenever we sing praises to Him. Whether accompanied by a CD, a worship video, a praise band, an organ, a piano, or a cappella, which we're almost moved to do today, which would have been fine. Whether it's in the assembly of believers or all alone in the shower. We're going to be finding ourselves aware of the presence of God. And we're going to find peace.
We're going to find healing and forgiveness in His presence. That's what He promises. Yes, and in the church we spur one another on to that, don't we? We encourage one another on to that. We prompt one another. We'll be talking to our Father more. We'll be praying more. We'll be worshiping Him more. And not necessarily always in some kind of formal way. Just from our heart, expressing again our love and gratitude and appreciation. We'll be opening our arms and running into His arms more and more and more. And His arms will be open every single time. A dear friend of mine who I have not been able to spend much time with in the last several years lives in Wooster, Ohio. His name is Dorn. Dorn's about 6'7", big guy, strong guy, gentle spirit. Wonderful heart. Dorn served as a counselor for me at camp for so many years. And his wife, Candy, in the kitchen is kind of overseeing that. They did a marvelous job. Wonderful hearts for people in general. They work at a Christian orphanage. They are house parents and foster parents for troubled kids. Dorn, whenever I'd ask him to lead a prayer, particularly maybe if it was for breakfast or it was at the morning chapel, he always began the same way. Good morning, Lord. And people would chuckle about that, think, oh, he's being silly. No, he wouldn't be silly. Dorn was an orphan, but he found a father who knew loved him and who he loved dearly. And when he said, good morning, Lord, it was not so much just to begin a conversation, it was begin a continual conversation that he was going to have with the Lord all day long. May it be good for us to start our days that way, right? Good morning, Lord. Recognize His presence, that He is there and He cares. May we be aware. In Jeremiah 29:13, God promises, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you seek Him, will you find Him? Yes, if you do it with all your heart. So the idea isn't, well, take a brief look around. Okay, well, don't sense Him, don't recognize Him. God, if you're there, you're sure not showing yourself. God, if you're there, you reveal yourself, will you? No, seek Him and you will find Him. But do it sincerely and honestly. The idea is that you desire a relationship with Him, that you are pursuing His presence. And what does He promise? You will find me. Is He going to hide from us? No. I thought about playing hide and seek with little kids. Done it a lot, you know, over the years. Still do it once in a while. Was doing it with Brad and Carrie's little granddaughter not that many weeks ago. And I would hide and she would look, you know, and I was expecting her to find me. And sometimes she'd get a little, you know, tired of looking, to be honest, and wondering. And she'd ask for clues. Nina was there and Brad and Carrie, she'd say, Where is he? Well, just keep looking. I'd say, keep looking. And she'd keep looking. And once in a while, I might go, psst, psst. So I'd make a noise, something to draw her attention. I want her to find me. And when she'd get real close, I'd jump and go, whoo! And she'd go, ah! And she'd, oh, get all excited, you know, and whoo! And she'd cry, whoo, you did that. And so let's play again. Let's do it again. There was such joy in that. But the Father's not hiding from us so that we can't find Him. He's hiding not from us so much as we have allowed for things to hide Him from us. Things to get in the way. Things to cloud over our hearts and minds. But He's anxiously waiting. He wants us to find Him. And oh, what joy and excitement when we do. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. There you go. Earnestly. Sincerely, truthfully seek Him. He rewards them. With what? Well, contextually, forgiveness and healing for the land. Amen?
That's what he promises. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, what will we find? We'll find him. Because really the greatest reward of all is not what he will give us. It's him. It is him. Because when we have him, we have everything. Didn't Jesus teach us to seek first the kingdom of God and all the things that we need will be given to us? Matthew 6:33, didn't he say that? Yes. When we find him, we find all that we need. And really, more than we've ever hoped for in him. And in him we find a blessed assurance that can be found nowhere else. Assurance, again, of his love, of his salvation, of his forgiveness, of his healing. Assurance of eternal security in him. A home in heaven. He sent Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to the Father. So if you've been seeking the Father, if you've been seeking God, but you haven't been finding him, maybe one of the reasons is that you haven't opened your eyes to Jesus. Because he's the way to the Father. He'll direct you. He'll lead you. By his grace, by his blood, the path is made clear. Seek him.